And now we'll read from your emails. The economy seems to be on everyone's mind these days, and we took some time last week to ask about your economic indicators. How do you measure the state of the economy, and what does it tell you? Jane Tierney sent us this note. I manage a youth recreation program for a fairly affluent suburb of Minneapolis. Our program mainly caters to families with working parents, so we have kids before and after school in the school year and all day long in the summer. The kids are here because the parents are at work. In our suburb, we know the economy is slowing down because more kids join the program. Former stay-at-home moms are going back to work to keep the family income up and are sending kids to our program. Another listener, Liz in Oklahoma City, added her economic indicator. I'm a psychotherapist at an acute care psychiatric hospital, and I've seen our daily census rise throughout the past few months with more and more patients reporting situational factors as opposed to chronic mental illness as the primary factor leading to their admission. Many of these patients have been laid off and are facing financial pressures like foreclosure, loss of health care, etc. And finally, a correction. A week ago, we talked about America's history of bank panics. IndyMac Bank had just failed, and we saw reports of angry customers lining up outside branches to withdraw their cash. But it wasn't the banks that many of you emailed about. It was the question asked by a listener about credit unions. Ted Griffith emailed from Wilmington, Delaware, to complain. A guest on Talk of the Nation just provided some info that's not quite right. Credit unions aren't covered by the FDIC, but their deposits have, in effect, the same coverage through a different federal agency. The caller who was told to check to see if her credit union is covered by the FDIC is probably going to be confused. There was also a question about whether credit unions or banks might be safer to deposit your money during tough economic times. So to help us get to the bottom of all this, we've called on our money pal, Liz Pulliam-Weston. She's a personal finance columnist for MSN Money, and she wrote the book Deal With Your Debt. She's with us from a studio at NPR West. Liz, thanks so much for coming in today.
It's a pleasure. Thank you, Lynn.
And to our listeners, if you have questions about credit unions, this is your chance to ask an expert, 800-989-8255, or send an email to talk@npr.org. So, Liz, maybe we'll begin with the basics. What exactly is a credit union, and how does it compare to a bank?
Credit unions are member-owned financial institutions, so they're not in business to make a profit for their shareholders. They're basically in business to help their members, and you generally can get better interest rates from them. You have to belong to a certain group in order to belong to a credit union, but typically the definitions are pretty broad, and there's actually a website called joinacu.org where you can check to see if you qualify to join a credit union. You probably do.
Now, most people do know that the FDIC, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, covers deposits in banks up to $100,000. What we now know is the FDIC does not cover credit unions. But what agency does cover credit unions?
All federal credit unions and most state-chartered credit unions are covered by the National Credit Union Share Insurance Fund, which is a mouthful. But it's an insurance fund run by the National Credit Union Administration, which is a federal agency. And like the FDIC, you're insured up to $100,000 per depositor per credit union under that fund. And you can get coverage up to $250,000 for certain retirement accounts.
We are talking with personal finance columnist Liz Pulliam-Weston. And I do want to remind everybody that you are listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. So is one institution safer than the other, a bank versus credit union? Or?
Well, the banks are having a harder time coping right now. The credit unions didn't get the same exposure to the mortgage mess that the banks did. But if you're concerned about the health of your credit union or your bank, I'd go do a little digging. There are lots of ways that you can check on the health and safety of your financial institution. One place I like to go is bankrate.com. They have something called a safe and sound measure that sort of takes all the filings that banks and credit unions have to make and translates them into a star system so you can get a feel for how strong your particular institution is.
I just want to ask, did you say how we know that that banks are deposits in banks are insured up to $100,000? Is that the same for credit unions? Is it up?
Yeah, it's $100,000 is the basic insurance amount, and for both banks and credit unions that are covered by insurance, you also have a separate coverage of amount up to $250,000 for certain retirement accounts like IRAs.
Yeah. What about other areas of service from credit unions versus banks, rates, fees, that sort of thing?
you generally see lower fees and better interest rates at credit unions. Again, they're member-owned, so they don't have to make the profits to show their shareholders that banks do. And you now have a lot of the advantages with credit unions that used to be just something that you found at banks. Like one of the old knocks against credit unions was, well, they don't have those big ATM networks. Well, now most of them do. They've banded together, and you actually have access through many credit unions to 25,000 different ATMs. A lot of ATMs will credit you for the fees that you pay at other, you know, non-network ATMs if you happen to, you know, need money and can't get to one. And they're generally the place that most people find when they're looking for a good rate on auto insurance. That's sort of the stepping stone into credit unions. You hear from a friend that says, you know what, you really should check our credit union and see what the rate is on those auto loans. And then they realize, hey, I'm getting a better rate on my checking account. I can, you know, borrow money more easily. I get more money on my savings. Maybe I better sign up and become a member.
So do you feel like the, Liz, do you feel like the sort of panic is not the right word, but the sort of nervousness around banks has died down a little bit at this point?
No, I don't think so. I think people are very concerned. I'm starting to get more emails now saying, how do I know if I'm insured? How do I figure out the insurance amount? Because it can be incredibly complicated. It depends on the insurer. It depends on the type of account. And I usually just send people to the FDIC or the NCUA websites because they explain how the shares or the accounts are insured. And they have interactive calculators that can help you figure out how much you're insured for. And we have been hearing from analysts and others, even regulators, that there are going to be more bank failures. So I think more people have this on their mind.
Well, you know, whenever I'm talking about this and I hear about your deposits in banks are insured up to $100,000, part of me always thinks, well, why would you have $100,000 in the bank in the first place?
The people I tend to hear from tend to be older. A lot of them survived the Depression. They don't like to have their money in the stock market, or they like to have a significant chunk somewhere they feel safe and it's fairly liquid, and that tends to be a bank or a credit union. And a lot of people don't want to split up their money. They might have $500,000 in savings, but that's all they have in the world. And rather than break it up among different banks or different credit unions, they've got it all in one place. And that's fine if your credit union or bank is safe and sound. But these days, I'd be a little extra cautious and just make sure that you are insured for as much as you think you are. And if you've got excess, maybe look at another bank or credit union. Spread it around a little bit.
All right. Let's see if we can get a call in from Jackie. And she's calling from Clarkston, Michigan. Hi, Jackie.
Hello. How are you guys today?
Good. Go ahead.
Good. My question is I have a little bit over $10,000 in CDs in my local credit union. If the credit union was to fail at all, would I be out the $10,000 or is that covered?
If your credit union is covered by this insurance fund I've been talking about, you would be totally covered. And the chances are very good that it is. All federal credit unions and the vast majority of state chartered credit unions are covered by the National Credit Union Share Insurance Fund. If you're not sure, though, go to the ncua.gov site and check it out. They will let you know.
All right, great. Thank you so much.
All right, welcome, thanks, Jackie, for your call. Bye. Jackie. All right, and I think we got a call from Crash. Is that the right name in Chicago, Illinois?
Yes, hello.
Hi, Crash. Go ahead quickly. We just have a short time left.
I'm curious as to what steps, like a underserved minority, like people who live in a certain neighborhood or people who are part of a profession that doesn't get a lot of representation, could do to start their own credit union. And I'll take the guest comments off the air.
All right. Thanks so much.
Again, I'd go straight to the ncua.gov site and see what they talk about there, because they have some information about starting a credit union, getting going. If you're underrepresented, that's a pretty good reason to get it going.
All right. Well, thanks so much for joining us today, Liz.
Anytime, Lynn. Thank you.
Liz Pulliam-Weston is a personal finance columnist and the author of Deal With Your Debt, The Right Way to Manage Your Debt and Pay Off What You Owe. She joined us from NPR West. Tomorrow, Ken Rudin, our political junkie, will be live at the museum, and we'll be talking with Libertarian Party candidate Bob Barr. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Lynn Neary in Washington.